When you think of a successful mastermind, what comes to your mind? I can share with you five things that I know make a successful mastermind. So listen in. I'm Jen Argue, and I've been leading masterminds for the past 5 years for 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs. And I would love to help you start your own mastermind as well, so that you can create a really big impact with those around you and work a lot less and make a lot more at the same time. I've been leading masterminds for a long time, and I know what makes a mastermind successful and what makes it not so successful. And I'm going to share with you five things that I know for sure makes a mastermind successful. And if you are leading a mastermind, paying attention to these five things is going to make a big difference in the way that your members experience your mastermind and talk about it when they're done or when they move on to other things. You always want them to look back on your mastermind as a really great experience in their business life or whatever type of mastermind you're having, because they're not just for business, they are for other areas as well. And so these five things apply to all of these areas. So let's dive in. The first quality that makes a mastermind really successful is meeting the expectations that you laid forth when you advertised your mastermind. So when people came into your mastermind, they had an idea of what it was going to be like according to how you marketed your mastermind. If you said, "This mastermind is going to be a place where we are collaborating on a certain thing," or, "I'm going to be teaching you how to do a certain thing, like generate leads or close sales," or maybe your mastermind was centered on incorporating more rest into your life or incorporating more play into your life. Whatever it is, there's no wrong focus for a mastermind, but you can go wrong when you don't deliver on whatever the expectation was. And I hear that from people who have been really disappointed in masterminds that they have paid a lot of money for that didn't deliver on what they said they would. And so whatever it is you do decide to do with your group, make sure that it's the same as what you told them you would do. So then expectations are met, whatever they are. And again, they don't have to be any specific thing, but whatever they are, make sure you're including that in your mastermind. Number two, a really successful mastermind has the right people in the room. You could be having a mastermind for actors. You could be having a mastermind for parents to help them parent better, for entrepreneurs to make more money, for school principals to be running their schools more effectively with a better culture. Whatever it is that you're focusing on and the person that you're focusing on, make sure to only have that person in the room. If you are, for example, having a mastermind for entrepreneurs, you are probably not necessarily all the time, but oftentimes you're going to want to say, "This mastermind is for a person at this stage of business." So maybe this is a mastermind for people in their first 2 years of business, or this is a mastermind for somebody in the mid 6 figures, or this is a mastermind for 7-figure entrepreneurs, or this is a mastermind for entrepreneurs with online courses and memberships, or this is a mastermind for people who own plumbing service businesses. Whatever it is, you want to make sure that the right people are in the room, because
If somebody is in that room who's not really an ideal fit, there is going to be discomfort. There's going to be frustration, and not just for the people who are in the room who are the right people, and they're maybe frustrated that this person isn't contributing at the same level. It's also frustrating for that person who is mismatched, because they're going to feel discouraged and like it's too hard, like the work is too hard to be in that group to try to fit in. And it's not that we want everybody the same. Of course, we want differences in strengths and experiences, but there is a certain type of commonality that you do want. You do want people who are kind of already at the same level, who are all striving towards the same goal. So having the right people in the room is really important. That is something that I teach in my mastermind program, which helps people build their own profitable masterminds. I equip them with all the skills. And let me tell you, that is a very big, important skill, is knowing how to get the right person in the room. So I can't stress that point nearly enough. That's so important. Okay, number three is how we define success. A successful mastermind not only entails how your member is experiencing it in order for it to be successful, but also it has to be successful for you. So it doesn't matter if everybody in your group is having the best time and loving the group, if you don't like it. You liking it matters. So let's say you have set up your group to meet every week or every other week because that's kind of in your mind what a mastermind was and what you had to do. But in reality, deep down in your soul, you would really like to lead a mastermind that is all about retreats. You just want to take people on regular retreats, like maybe 2 to 4 retreats a year. That would be like the ultimate type of mastermind for you, or maybe just one massive deep dive retreat. And that's all you want to do. If you're not in alignment with what you love to do, it doesn't matter how amazing of a time your members are having. It's not a successful mastermind, because this is you, this is your business, and you need to build a business you believe in. This is something I say, this is part of my overall methodology, is that you need to have a business you believe in, or you're just not going to like it. You're going to walk away from it. You're going to want to do something else, and your heart is just not going to be in it. And in order to feel successful in your mind, you have to believe in it. And so making sure you are building a mastermind that you believe in is definitely one of the criteria of what makes your mastermind successful. Another element that makes mastermind successful is everybody coming to every meeting. Regular, consistent attendance is definitely something that makes a mastermind successful. And I have heard it so many times from people who had very disappointing experiences in masterminds. It was because not everybody showed regularly. And to be honest, that's typically what makes the free masterminds unsuccessful, is when you don't have skin in the game of even the smallest level, you don't have any real reason to show up other than your pure desire. And sometimes we know that's just not enough. When people pay, they pay attention. And so making sure that when people are signing up for your mastermind, that they understand that part of the investment is showing up, that your time, your energy, your effort. And if you are running a mastermind, this is something you really want to communicate to people before they join and get the buy-in before they actually invest with their dollars. So knowing that people showing up regularly and having strong attendance is critical to a successful mastermind. It's really, attendance is the backbone of a mastermind. It's hard to have a mastermind if people aren't there to share their brains, to share their brilliance and create that concept that is the mastermind, the coming together of ideas that sparks new ideas. That is the mastermind in the group. So regular attendance. And lastly, the fifth element that creates a successful mastermind is a really good group leader. You can have like really so-so elements with all those other points, but if the leader isn't strong enough, it's not going to be successful. And what do I mean by strong enough? I mean that the leader has really good group facilitation skills. Probably one of the biggest flaws that I've seen of some mastermind leaders is they make it about them. And when you're a leader, it's not about you, it's about your members. And so how does that look? I think it looks like it stands out in two ways. One way is you allow other people to speak first and you don't dominate the conversation with your own words and your own talking. It's so easy to think, oh, I've got the stage, I've got the platform. People want to hear what I have to say. I'm just going to keep talking. But actually, true transformation comes from people processing themselves. And this is an element of true group facilitation skills that you can tell the difference between somebody who's new and somebody who's been trained. And one of those elements is being able to foster that element of transformation by having people verbally process what they're learning out loud to everybody in the room to get that type of feedback that creates those big ahas. And so being able to truly put on your coaching hat and ask questions and not talk as much, to let people have those aha moments from their own processing. It is one thing to hear something and go, oh yeah, but it's another thing to hear something, say, oh yeah, and then verbalize the way that they process that transformational moment or idea. That's where the real change happens. And to be able to facilitate that is a true skill. Another element other than not talking as much and facilitating the floor for other people to talk is the ability to draw people out. So to be able to hold that group dynamic of the different personalities and the different communication styles, to be able to understand who needs what. Not everybody wants to be challenged really hard, but some people do. And so knowing like who needs that strong challenge and who doesn't, who is encouraged in a different way, or who are those verbal processors that need to verbalize, but also need a boundary so that there's enough time for the people who are the internal processors have the chance to be drawn out and trusted and encouraged to share what's going on in their minds. What are they processing that needs to be shared with the group? And so we want to be able to hold all the different personality styles and bring out the best in everybody. Basically, that's what we want. We want to bring out the best in everyone and help them to process that shared collective, the experiences that everybody is bringing to the group, and to be able to hold space and create that sort of trust in the culture and build the success culture that I often talk about, because the best masterminds have that. They have that sense of trust and safety. And through that, a success culture is born, and that's where people get the transformation. That's where they meet their goals faster, and they fast track their accomplishments, and they fast track their ability to make great strides in whatever the goals are that your group has set. And so those truly are the five elements of what makes a mastermind successful. Number one, making sure that the expectations are actually being met in the group that you advertised would be met. Number two, making sure the right people are in the room. Number three, you have to feel that the group is successful and that what you're doing is aligned with who you are. Number four, making sure that attendance is regular and expected, that everybody is coming to every meeting, unless they're sick or on vacation or whatever other, you know, reasons that you have that are okay for somebody to miss. And number five, being a mastermind leader with true group facilitation skills, making sure that you truly know how to lead a really good group. Now, in order to do all of those things, I have come up with a masterclass that I'm delivering on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this before June 20th, I invite you to register for my masterclass, How to Plan, Create, and Lay the Foundation for Your Profitable Mastermind, for your own profitable mastermind. I'm here to equip you with the things you need in order to start your own profitable mastermind. So I invite you to join us to this masterclass. It's going to have a lot of value for you to be able to do those things. And I hope that you come. The registration link is wherever you are listening to this. It's going to be around here somewhere. So please come and join us. Bring your friends. I would love to have you there live, because if you come live, I can also answer your questions in person. So please join us. I will see you then.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that if you found value in this, that you would subscribe to my podcast and share it with a friend and leave a review. Thanks so much.